Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Turn to the book of Acts. We won't be preaching long. We just want to get you into this altar and let the Holy Ghost have His way. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Peter was speaking in the book of Acts in chapter number 11. And this I is Peter. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Amen. The Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Amen. This is many of the one of the rep of being one of the times when the Holy Ghost repeats itself all the way through the book of Acts. It's one of the many times, not the only time, as the folks nowadays would try to get us to say that it's unscriptural to believe that there's ever going to be another Pentecost. From the truth of the Bible and from what is found in the book of Acts, we are to see it repeated all the time and not once upon a time.
Amen.
It should be in us, around us, and about us so that it can be repeated continually. The reputation of this Holy Ghost baptism is to be repeated. Amen. Wherever the apostles went, there was a reputation of the Holy Ghost at that day of Pentecost. Whether it was at Jerusalem, or whether it was at Samaria, or whether it was at Antioch or Corinth, every conversion, every time there was a moving of the apostles under the power of the Holy Ghost, there was to be another Holy Ghost day. Amen. The day of Pentecost. Every conversion testified to it. Every individual soul, according to this word, has the privilege that has been born again to become the possessors of the Holy Ghost. It is not just for a certain individual or a certain rank of individuals. It starts out with 3,000 and then it goes on by a similar process, but the same power of saving all the way through the book of Acts.
Right.
And today, the same power is still saving, still sanctifying, and still filling with His presence.
That's right.
The power of the Holy Ghost. Same power, same process, same person. Holy Ghost. Same power, same process, same person, Holy Ghost. Same power, same process, same person, Holy Ghost. Amen. Same power, same process, same person, Holy Ghost. The book of Acts is still being written. If it is the Acts of the Apostles, which it should have probably been titled the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Anybody out there going to help me? You see, the Holy Ghost is the heritage of the church. We do have an inheritance. We do have something from God that is vouchsafed to us. His children are to be sealed, marked with an identification. Something is to come upon them that separates them from everybody else. They are sealed until the day of redemption. They are brought into personal contact with a person who seals them, marks them, holds them for that day, works on them, edifies them, trains them, teaches them, learns, amen, from Him all of the things that you need to know about God the Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. You see, our heritage, the heritage of our children is the Holy Ghost. Something same can be passed down from generation to generation. Something can be passed down from grandma to mom to granddaughter, or from grandpa to son, father to son. It is a heritage. We are missing it when we think that it is spasmodic and just doesn't come in a certain flowing. It is here. It has been here in this church for 50-some years. You would think that a church that had had the moving of God's Spirit over 50 years would understand that it's not left. It has not left us. It will not leave us. It is here for a purpose. And we cannot frustrate that grace. You see, we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's in Galatians 3 and 14. We receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that is where we're at. We believe and we receive. It's always been that way. You believe, then you receive. Amen. You don't always see it and then get to believe it and then receive it. You see it afterwards and you know that it was the true Word of God. And that's why we need by faith to reach out and take hold of the promise that guarantees to our children and to us a fullness of power and a fullness of privilege. He is the same in the last days as he was in the first days of the church. The Holy Ghost has not changed. The same Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost is the same Spirit that's falling right here in this latter rain. Same Spirit, same privilege, same power, same total work is to make us all the children of God. You see, to possess Him is not like the charismatics want to teach you. To possess Him is not just to have an experience. To possess Him is to have a person who moves into you to live in you and live through you. We're not here chasing a feeling or an emotionalism or sentimentalism. We're here asking a person to come in and just simply take our life over so that we may walk in the Spirit, so that we may live in the Spirit. Amen. We're taking so much for granted and we forget so often that revival is not the work of a man, it's not the work of a preacher, it's not the work of a choir, it's not the work of a quartet or a duet. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. You want revival, you got to do business with Him. You can't do business in a sloppy way, you can't do that. You just can't turn Him off and on like a water faucet. Want to drink, turn it on. Don't want to drink, shut it off. Not thirsty, go a week without Him. That just don't work, does it? You know and I know it doesn't work. We're the witnesses of how it's not working. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a quickener. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is a teacher. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost is a purifier.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is an energizer.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is a comforter.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is our privilege.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is the seal and the earnest of our inheritance.
Amen.
I know that I'm in line to inherit it all when I get Him.
Amen.
The devil can stop his bickering and he can stop his temptations and he can stop his insinuations. I know that I know that I know that I know that I got Him.
Amen.
How many out there know that you know that you know that you got it?
Amen.
You see, His presence is a personal presence. It's an indwelling presence. As as it is in the soul that the promise of the Father comes to us. It doesn't just come to a church. It comes to us as His children. He wants to indwell every one of His children. I wish I could get you to believe that. He makes us the true children of God.
Amen.
He makes us the earnest children of God. Yes. He makes us the holy children of God.
Amen.
What we start out with as wanting to be true, we end up being holy.
Right.
What we want as starting out with just a blessing, we want to end up being holy.
Right.
Always the end work of the Holy Ghost is to bring us from a nobody to a holy somebody. No matter what part of town He got you on, He has but one place for you, and that's in the holiness rank.
Amen.
And any man that doesn't come along with that soon finds himself rejected.
Amen.
Rejected, cast aside. Paul feared that. Lest I preach to others and I myself become a castaway.
Right?
So we don't want to become castaways. We want to make it all the way. We don't want to be half-hearted.
Right.
We want to be in this. We don't want to be formal. We don't want to be a whited sepulcher. We want to be the genuine. Nonetheless, it will take every bit that we have of seeking Him, that we can be filled with Him, so that we may know where we stand with God. Listen, the expressions, baptized with the Holy Ghost, Acts 1 and 5. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 1 and 8. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and 4. I will pour out my spirits, Acts 2, 17, 18. He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear, Acts 2, 33. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, 2 and 38. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, chapter 4, verse 31. They received the Holy Ghost, chapter 8, verse 17. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, Acts 10 and 38.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost fell on all them who heard the word, Acts 10 and 44. On the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, 10 and 45. Who hath received the Holy Ghost, 10 and 47. The Holy Ghost fell on them, chapter 11, verse 15. John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, chapter 11, verse 16. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost, Acts 13, 52. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, Acts 19 and 6. Over and over again, the emphasis is put upon what He does. Oh, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It says it's coming down. A coming down, a pouring out, an anointing, a shedding forth, a coming upon, a falling on. As water is poured upon us, and oil anoints us, showers fall upon us, the fire descends upon us, so does the Holy Ghost come in contact with us, every one of those, even including as the dew of heaven, it comes. It operates upon us, and it operates within us. One sense. There's only one life for this church. We live in one life. It is the Holy Ghost that energizes. It is the Holy Ghost that quickens. And there's no way that you can do anything in an external or ecclesiastical or government way or organized way that will avail to take away His work. No matter how smooth a church runs, if it's not running on the oil of the Holy Ghost, it's going to get rusty.
Right.
The externals are not enough. It's not the number on the board. It's the Spirit that is within us. The truth is emphasized by the Holy Ghost. He's the one that will prompt you to say amen to preaching. He's the one that will prompt you to raise your hands up to truth. He's the one that will prompt you to stand up when a preacher's singing or preaching or somebody else is singing or testifying. It'll be the Holy Ghost that breaks out in the midst of us and gives a message in tongues, heals our sick, helps us overcome. We're here tonight to tell you again and emphasize to you again, it's not a big I or a little you or a bunch of us. It's one person that keeps the church afloat, and that's the Holy Ghost and His power. What are we without the Holy Ghost? What are we? Nothing. No wonder Jesus said, and without me you can do nothing. Amen. We're here, we have church. Souls don't get saved. Why? He's not working. He brings conviction. He brings joy. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and joy. Joy and the Holy Ghost go together. Amen. You can't have the Holy Ghost without having joy, and you can't have joy without the Holy Ghost. You got to have them both. Amen. I just don't believe in a sour old Holy Ghost.
Right?
I don't know. Yes, God, if it don't move on me, ain't nothing to it. Says who? When did you become the sole judge? What we need is joyous people. So filled with the Holy Ghost that they can't help but clap their hands. That they can't help but shout, hallelujah!
Right?
They get towards the house of God. They get excited because they know that they've been all day with Him, and now they're going to join the rest of the family, and we're going to have church. We're going to have meeting. We're going to get in concert. We're going to watch the Holy Ghost do what we can't do. Heal our sick, save our lost, bring back our backslider, and all we got to do is sing and shout and dance about. And the more we sing and shout and dance about, the more the Holy Ghost works. The more we obey Him, the more power He demonstrates. The day that we realize that we give ourselves completely over to Him, He will take us and make something out of us, but without Him, we will be nothing. It's not numbers. It's not bulk. Not bustle. It's not schemes. It's not talent. Not intellect. It's not eloquence. It's not learning. Our churches that mothered us didn't have anything like we had. A lot of them didn't have pianos or guitars or anything. Preachers didn't even know how to preach. But they done it. Because the Holy Ghost is the preacher. Got more souls saved by accident than we do on purpose. Because they were so unlearned that they had to depend. And the more they depended, the greater He reacted. We don't need Him. We need singing, we'll get the choir up here. We need talent, we'll get somebody to play the piano. I remember when I first came here, we didn't have a piano player. We prayed for one. Then we got two. Then we got three. Oh, you're not helping me. That's not your fault. I'm just not much for preacher. You see, the fact of it is that we know that we have run up against the wall, and we need that wall to come down. We need that wall to come down. We need that wall to come down. We have run up against it, and we're not moving it, and it needs to come down. We either have enough of the Holy Ghost to let Him burn it down, or enough of the wind of God to have Him blow it down, or enough of the power of God to tear it down. But it's got to come down. We've got to get out of this ritualistic worship that we've got into. Amen. Where you expect three songs. Amen. And a little sermonette so you can go out and fellowship. But what you really need is to come in here and sit down and have some preaching preached to you so the Holy Ghost can get a hold of your heart and your mind and straighten this thing out. God's ideal of a church, its root and life and constitution and work, find itself only in one person, and that's the Holy Ghost. And I am not Holy Ghost or nothing. But I will requote you my saying, without the Holy Ghost, you are nothing. We cannot become like the church of God. We cannot go like the assemblies of God. We cannot continue on without realizing we owe it to our children to get back to the basics of worshiping in the Spirit and truth. We've never lacked for truth. We've never lacked for truth. This pulpit has been filled with Bible preachers, but we do lack for Spirit. All our creeds and ceremonies and services and edifices and altars and eulogies and pictures and possessions and all of the things that we go through are absolutely worthless because they're just rituals until the Holy Ghost gets in them.
Amen.
That's why at the end of the year when we take communion, that's an odd way to take it. The simplest way would be to stand up here and let you walk by or have the ushers to take it out there to you and everybody get a little cup and a little piece of bread and we all do it together and it'll all be over. Right? But the reason why we do it the way we do it is it's so unorthodox to have you come up and pray for somebody else. And know that you can't do anything. You're laying dead weight on their head without the help of the Holy Ghost. And for 30 some years, the Holy Ghost has come to every one of our communion services because then we act more like a family than any other service. There we're praying for one another. We're wanting them to be blessed. We're wanting them to be healed. We're wanting them to be helped. We're reaching up to heaven, trying to bring heaven down on their head. And all of that is just what the Holy Ghost wants. Unity and love and family until we all act like we love one another. And some of you are going to dry up and blow away. You've not had any, you've not been under the spout for so long, you're drying up. You can't pry a glory to God out of you. As much as Brother Bill Houston loves the Lord, he'll get up here and shout glory. He'll shout glory and tell us to shout glory. And he knows he's just looking out there at you and you're not shouting glory. You know what shout is? That's when you lift your voice up. That's what you do to your husband when you don't like what he's doing. You shout at him.
Yes. They understand that.
We dance with our feet. We clap with our hands. We shout with our mouth. To have a shouting church means you got a vocal church. You got somebody that's not ashamed to say, glory to God, I just felt that. Hallelujah, that's the truth. Glory be to God! You see, when you got a shout in church, you shout because you know the truth. You shout because you got joy. You shout because you are saved. You shout because you are right with God. You shout because you don't have anything in your heart. You shout because you're free. You lift up your voice and you praise God aloud. And you say, Lord, if you'll give me the Holy Ghost, I will become a fanatic! more fanatics at a football game than we do at a holiness church. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Glory. Woo. Glory. Glory. Glory to God. Oh, bless his holy name. Oh, somebody ought to shout. You ought to shout. You ought to shout like we're happy. We ought to shout like we're joyful. We ought to shout like we're saved. We ought to shout like we're sanctified. We ought to shout like we got the Holy Ghost. We ought to shout. And if we learned to be shouters, we'd turn into dancers. Then we praise God in the dance. Oh, fall on us, Lord. Fall on us, Holy Ghost. Fall on us, Holy Ghost. David Dale will probably never get the Holy Ghost till you fall on him. Cover him up. Drench him. Roll him. I told Nathan last night, since he didn't claim it, I said, tonight, get ready to roll a peanut if he asks you. Did I tell you? Get ready to do whatever he says. Whatever he tells you, you do it. Don't look at Dad for approval. Don't pay no attention to Todd. Just do it. Shout to the top of your voice. Run like a deer. Run the back of the pews. Whatever he tells you to do. You can do it because the Holy Ghost will empower those that obey him. Oh, glory. I remember being down at Bond when Stevie Graves, little boy. Kyle, is that his name? Kyle? Kyle, short-legged little Kyle. He'd run back around the church and he'd eye those pews. His little face would get gray, just almost gray. And then he would hop. He'd hit the pew and he'd hit the back and he'd squirrel hop all the way back to the back. Because he wanted to obey God. Legs wasn't long enough to run them. He wasn't as agile as Gerald. Gerald's legs can take two at a time. If he gets in a pinch, he can step over probably three. He's just made for running the pews. Little Kyle had to jump him like a squirrel. But when the Holy Ghost got on him, he wasn't afraid of pews or nothing else. He actually seen his face change. When the Holy Ghost came on him, he got that gray look about him, and boy, he was gone. I'd like to look over this congregation tonight and see a face change right now to a countenance where the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're contemplating obeying God, and you're saying, God, I want to obey you more than anything. I want to do your will more than anything. I don't care what you ask me to do. If you tell me, I know you're going to help me to do it, I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to do it. But I could look out here tonight and all I see is bewilderment. You don't know why, where, how come we've lost it. Why do we not need it anymore? And while he yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And while he yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And while he yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Hallelujah! I'm not the Apostle Peter, but I got the same Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, my friend, while I'm preaching, the Holy Ghost is going to start falling. And when he starts falling, be the recipient of it. Don't wait for somebody else. Say to the Holy Ghost, here am I! Here am I! Here am I! I want to change. I want to do different. I want to get on fire. I want that touch of God on my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. 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 Believe it, sister. Believe it tonight. Believe it tonight. Believe it tonight. Believe it tonight. Go home with that renewing. Go home with that renewing. Bring a peace into that home. Bring that joy back. Bring it right now, Holy Ghost. You promised to go home with us. You promised to go home with us. This is how my lost husband's going to get saved if I take the Holy Ghost home with me. This is how my children are going to get back under conviction when they hear me pray in tongues as the Spirit gives us. And this is how my neighbor is going to know that I'm Pentecostals when the Holy Ghost moves in my home and I do some shouting there and some dancing at home. Somebody ought to shout amen. Glory. Come on, Fred, receive it. While he spake, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Thank God. Woo! Thank God. My, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost coming in this place. I feel the moving of God's Spirit. Hallelujah! That's it, Fred. Receive it. Thank you.